Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
A lot of people think about it, but do you ever think about stepping out of the daily grind and ever think about how far you'd actually go if you did go through with it? So in studio with me now is somebody looking to help Irish men find out the answer to that question. Former intercounty hurler and journalist Dermot Ling. How are you keeping?
Pretty good.
Lovely to have you in. How are you?
Not sure about that. Introduction, like to help for men to find it. It's like kind of just creating a space for them to go to.
Brilliant.
Basically, because
for
anyone to stand and say, I know how somebody can get somewhere is like really dodgy territory.
But
and
you
not
can,
one that I want to go near.
You can do your best to help them.
You can be in it with them and you can create the environment. Like you have a good idea. I have a good idea at this stage from going down different avenues and going fully down them. Okay, these are places where healing happens. These are places where rage gets lifted. These are places where fellas can break. These are the conditions for it. And these are the fellas who I would like around me when those things happen. So
I want to ask you, so it's Wild Irish Retreats.
Well, Wild Irish Retreat is what we started with Africa, and that's been for the last 5 years of more focus on, I suppose, spiritual Irish language based retreats, and
brilliant.
much more about kind of an exploration of the language rather than sitting down and doing the Mokini look. That's not on the card.
Shiver up my spine.
I know the collective shiver, and you meet that, like, and also the shame that goes with the shiver of not being able.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's like how to create those conditions for people to come in, and you know, in that kind of work as well, it's really interesting. Like people are looking at, you know, self development and how to break through things, yoga, meditation, all this stuff. You give somebody the space to have to speak their own language.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, now my terror is on my face and I have to deal with that. And it's really interesting for people to break through it.
Yeah.
Because then once that terror and shame goes, the language actually starts to come out, as opposed to that they would learn it from the outside in. You know?
How did you come up with the idea for it? Like what was it that spurred you to get involved in this?
Lived experience. I went down to West Kerry at 22 with no comprehension of the language other than a subject in school, and something that you say in English becomes something in Irish. That was my understanding.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's most people's understanding,
pretty
I think.
Much like and when I went down to West Kerry, it was a wonderful discovery to find out that actually that the Irish language, once that shame and tension and all of those things and all my teachers and, you know, the way it's taught and all of those excuses went out the window. Mm. When the language came to life, I was like, you can see the world in a different way. It's like it opens up different avenues of thought and observation, and particularly in the relationship with nature, I found it a very beneficial and very interesting way to kind of navigate the nature, and that was really nice.
Tell me about that relationship with nature. Are you the experiences that kind of you're offering, say with the work that you do, is it about like sleeping outside? Are you doing like sweat lodges? Are you doing that kind of thing? Tell me about that element of it.
Yeah, I suppose there is definitely just a very, very basic thing. Like we'd be talking to ourselves now during the week coming up to it, you know, we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and this is what's going to happen, and you know, bang, bang, bang,
yeah,
and aren't
we
the fucking greatest and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like then you go out into nature for 8-10 hours and you realise how little time we all spend out in nature in that way.
Yeah.
It's usually like punctured, you know, you're kind of on a path and you're walking through a forest, but you're not out and in it and not
for
going back for your coffee, you're not going back for your, you bring it all with you and you're out. So we found actually that just having people out, now we'd be collecting seaweed, we'd be playing hurling, we might be doing a bit of wrestling, we might be out and getting into the thick of it for sure, wild food foraging, these things that people are becoming really curious about again.
And a lot of lost kind of arts, I guess, in terms of like living outside, foraging, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think what was basic information only two generations
ago,
and I think we're beginning to see now probably the failings of dependency on the food system as it is, and we're now looking to bring back in nutrients into our diet because we're living longer, but are we, you know, the question is a very fair one to answer, are we healthier, you know?
Absolutely. And like, is it, what was it that you, that made you yourself want to kind of step out of modern life, I guess, or like the daily kind of rat race or whatever it is? however you would describe it yourself.
Yeah, well, I didn't really decide it more than it decided me.
It decided you,
because I got to a point where I couldn't be honest in the situations that I was in. I mean, I was up in Dublin, I was working in radio, I was working with the SOAR organisation, running workshops with youngsters, I was doing amazing things.
Yeah.
But I couldn't, I didn't feel like I was in my own truth, and that was causing problems with the relationships that I would have then. Now, you know, I know the people who are maybe in heavy addiction and stuff suffer that to a great extent. Yeah. I don't want to do a disservice to that, but to not feel like you can be honest and integral and authentic in your engagements it's an awful place to be in, because
Absolutely.
You're retreating back into yourself while in the company of other people, and that's very difficult for people. So I just had to get out. I didn't know where particularly I wanted to go, needed to go, and I went off down to West Kerry just to find, as I came across John Moriarty and was very influenced by him when I was down there, and that idea of finding my bush soul was something that, like, okay, it's not that I want to go off and do it, it's that I'm allowed to. He kind of gave me permission to say it's actually okay, because most people in my life were saying, what are you doing,
you're mad,
you know, go back to the teaching, go back and you know, you'll be fine, just, you know,
it'll pass.
And I found that I had to go into it a little bit more to find out. So this is all from just experience. I had to go out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was living on the absolute breadline. I barely had a phone. I'd, you know, no car. I was out in this village in West Kerry, and I had to go out down to the cliffs in the morning time, pick a load of seaweed, dry that, bring it home. That was making up part of what I, you know, my only ability to get good nutrient into my diet for free, essentially.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, not that I was had to break the bank to go into town.
For sure, yeah.
Or whatever, you know. So that's where the seaweed came in. The hurling has been a lifelong
learning. Of course.
And I developed a mastery in to a degree. Not that I was, like, better than anybody else, but I developed my own internal mastery in that. And with mastery comes the opportunity to be able to break the game down for a child, or for somebody who's picking the ball up for the first time or whatever, and you have the keys to unlock something for them.
Yeah.
So that's where that comes in. And I love, on the retreats, it's much more what I would term wild hurling. We've changed the rules. On the men's retreat that we ran a couple of weeks ago, we were on the side of a hill in Ocavanna in Wicklow, and it definitely was the first game played on the side of that hill for a long time. But it was sufficient conditions for us to rewild ourselves a little bit. That's the thing. If you get into wilder situations, that wild part of yourself has the opportunity to come out. And that's a good thing, you know.
For someone who might be interested in doing a retreat, like, with you, say, tell me exactly what happens. Like, as in, if a man was to decide that, yeah, that sounds good, I'd like to get involved with that, kind of step by step, nearly, what are they kind of facing into?
Do you know, it's a tough one to answer, Afric. I know there's the basic timetable.
Yeah.
But I also feel like I'm kind of standing on the edge of the precipice, kind of. I know what's in that space.
Yeah.
And it is a return in some respects, even though I know it's a triggering word for people. It's a sacred space for fellas.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel to protect it to some degree, even though, like, you know, you might feel, oh, I have to advertise my business and I have to say all the things.
No, I know what you mean.
Do you know, but you do, I suppose. And when you're on the outside, so you think about that intellectually, oh, we're in that room doing this thing of, you know, breath work, and you have an idea of what that is, and say, oh, I'm not so sure about that. Or, you know, maybe men shouldn't be doing that, or I've no experience of men doing that, or whatever it is. You're kind of looking from cold on the outside. So very basically, like, yoga and meditation would be part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Breath work would be part of it. Then it's outside, hurling, wrestling, like, really getting physical with each other and welcoming that part of it. And, you know, like, letting loose a bit. Food is essential to it, and it's like high quality organic food. That's a real big part of it as well. That men are nourished. That these conditions, and that's a big thing, you know. It's not all rough and wild. Like, maybe we'll say the deer tanning retreats with Wild Irish Retreat, they would be a bit more heavy.
Sure,
going.
Yeah.
The men's retreats, for a man to be able to, like, let go of his responsibilities, and they're serious responsibilities, and they're bringing in serious things to these retreats.
Mm-hmm.
For him to be able to let go, he needs to have the fire needs to be sorted, the roof needs to be solid, like, you know, the food needs to be good. He needs to feel like everything's in control so he can let go.
I understand what you mean.
He's in the business of providing those things
all the time.
So you really want to provide those things. We did a sweat lodge the last time, And one of the most beautiful things about the Sweat Lodge, now there's a, I don't know if you're aware of it, but the Mankind Project in America are like a men's work organization, are going for the last 30 years, and they're currently embroiled in a bit of a row with what's called Spirit, and that's the Native American combination of tribes.
Of course, okay.
And they've said the sacred, the Sweat Lodge is ours. You can't just be bringing it in to run men's work.
A cultural appropriation thing, nearly.
But we've had sweat lodges in Ireland, but we sweat houses, and they're made of stone, and would be done very, very differently. Now there is, there, as far as I can see, there's a debate about, there's a certainty that they were medicinal. A lot of them left in Leitrim, and this was a place where you might, you know, purify the skin or whatever it was. But there's also in some maybe more alternative histories, I'm not sure, that would say that when people came back, when the tribes came back from battle, before assimilating into your home with your kids and your wife or your partner, whatever, you had to undergo some kind of purification of what you'd seen and what you had done on the battlefield. And when you think about what happened in Vietnam and the effects of that on the American population for 50 years, I mean, that makes perfect sense.
It makes total sense. You know,
completely. Of course, you would have to have that purification.
Because you want to bring your best self into, or
at least take away the things that you've
seen.
So, so I think we do have a degree of legitimacy around the Sweat Lodge, but we've lost the records. We don't know
necessarily
what it is. So that's a little bit, we're flying a little bit blind with that.
Yeah.
But it always comes back to me anyway, is there healing taking place?
Uh-huh.
Are you sincere in your intentions? And is there an impact? And I was explaining to the lads with the Sweat Lodge very, very simply, what I have found continuously is that once you undergo the ritual of it, something shifts somewhere. And you might think it's totally unrelated to that event, but something you'll find. Just observe the conditions of your life for the next few weeks. And I was explaining that to them, thinking they were going to undergo, and I'm holding this thing. I came out to a text message on my phone from my partner with a sticking point for two. And you know how sticking points are with relationships.
Like,
they can be hard to get out of.
Yeah.
And there was a text that broke that.
Okay.
Wide open. And it was an hour after it, you know. So it reaffirmed, because I, you know, sometimes being, who am I to be? Who am I to
for
be?
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
should
I
be doing this?
Like,
there's elders with lineages of, like, you know, going back or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. Should I? And then you come out and you say, well, actually, it's working. So you can just let that question go for a while.
Can I ask you about the Irish language and the part the Irish language plays in what you do? How important is it? Is it integral to the whole thing?
I mean, it is in a sense that now on the retreats, like, they were specifically Irish language retreats where people were making that choice in the past.
Yeah.
There was 30 men up in Akavanna. I'd say there was 18 of them came with Irish. And that's not an Irish language retreat. There was no mention of Irish anywhere.
Yeah.
They just came. And then the language, and I had to explain that to the other lads. It was like, we had a Canadian psychologist in there, and we had a few different, you know, different cultures, and then just English speaking Irish people. And we were saying, look, it's not out of any form of arrogance or any form of, like, exclusion or anything like that, but this is about the language needs to breathe in rooms like this. Finally, there's, like, enough people where we can have a really normal conversation, and so we'll slip in and slip out. But
and that's so rare for that to happen.
So well, I mean, where I live,
it isn't as rare.
It wouldn't be rare, but definitely for gatherings to be taking place amongst just an average, whatever you want to call an average, 30 men, for there to be 16 Irish language speakers is pretty impressive.
It is.
I suppose I see the language definitely as a possibility. There is an aspect. I have to be honest about it. I feel there is an aspect of the effect of the English language in colonising our mind and how we think, and the structures of the English language and how that permits us to see the world. I think that young people are coming to retreats looking for a way out of that conditioned way of thinking, and they're looking for a new, they're looking for a new language to relate to nature. They're looking for a new language to relate to power, to relate to who controls what they do, how they think, what they buy. They are genuinely concerned about the direction that we're going in terms of our relationship with the planet. So they're looking for a way to think in a new way, and that's a magnificent opportunity.
It's really funny because I heard what you just said there reminded me of, I remember Tommy Tiernan saying, describing somebody, I can't remember who it was, but he was describing somebody, an Irish man, and he said his soul was never meant to speak English. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it's almost like, it, I mean, it's a bit, you know, abstract or whatever, but like, there's a block surely in kind of even being able to communicate how, because we might think very differently and want to speak very differently to people who aren't Irish, if you know what I mean. But we're, because of, you know, colonization or whatever it is, we've lost the ability. A lot of people have lost the ability to do that.
Yeah, and it is. I suppose there's plenty of people. I suppose I've got my journey as well, and
on
how I see the world, and these are the things that I've observed, and I couldn't have told. Now it might have been just sitting latent in me, but I couldn't have told you Africa 22.
Mm.
Like, I could spend the next, I could walk around all the radio stations in RTE talking solid for the next 10 hours about how much beauty has come into my life since the moment the Irish language awakened in me.
Wow.
The people, the places, the settings, the conditions. I just, my life is remarkably richer for that moment of the Irish language opening up inside of me. Like, just, I can't even. So I suppose I see that and I say, okay, well, maybe other people are sitting on this gold mine and they just don't realise it because of, okay, maybe it is the teaching of it, maybe it is the education, maybe it is those things, but you're also sitting on a gold mine, and leaning into that is your own responsibility and it's your own journey, and there are people around you who are looking for the same thing. So I think we're on the precipice of something very, very interesting for the Irish language, a very interesting time.
It seems that way, yeah.
And I do boil it back. I do stuff with teachers down in West Kerry, kind of mindfulness stuff with them. They come down from St. Pat's and places and I spell it out to them very simply in relation to the languages. The language was taken away from us initially to weaken us. You take the language back, you don't have to be a mathematician to work it out, you know.
That's true.
It's quite simple, you know.
Can I just ask you before I let you go, and it's fascinating stuff, like I love the idea of it. What you, as a facilitator of this these kind of retreats and these talking to these lads and bringing them together and you know, seeing the types of people that turn up and the things that maybe are bothering them or the things that they need to let go, what does that give to you? Like, what do you get out of that as a facilitator of this?
It's a beautiful question, because there's, I think I spent a lot of time chasing happiness in my life, and I think I thought maybe hurling might provide that, and certain conditions of wealth or whatever and status might provide that, but I found they didn't. What I have found in the retreats, and I take GA teams out on overnight camps and stuff like that, and I could be at the fire on the last retreat, and it is stepping into the sacred place a little bit, but on the last retreat, after a breakwork session, one of the lads was going through something, and he was releasing something, and I held on to his ankle because I was like, I was at his foot. I didn't want to invade his space, and I was very respectful of my own space in particular, but Michael Ryan, who I run the retreats with, he said, he just came over whispering me, go up and put your hand on his heart, and I went up and put my hand on his heart, and whatever equalization has taken part there, I'm not intellectually battling anything. It's just like, this is what purpose feels like. This is what, like, a purposeful life feels like. I am now at this point in time, and it's happened very often with the teams, the hurling teams and the football teams as well. When I'm at the fire, I'm like, this is my, I'm singing here. Like, this is my, this is my note. Yep. I feel, and I'm not battling it, thinking about it, worried about it. It's like the feeling comes over me, cuts right through my whole body, and it's like, okay, beautiful. So I get a huge amount from it. It's an absolute privilege to witness fellas let loose.
Yeah.
Let loose out in the field as well.
All kinds of ways.
You know, it really is to see that, because sometimes in the social context, we're all very like, we're all very
rigid.
You know, confined and rigid.
For
all
sure.
Of a sudden, we let go. And it's a real privilege.
Dermot, it's thanks so much for coming in to talk to me today. Where can people find out about upcoming retreats if they want to get involved in something like this, or find out about more about it?
Thanks very much. Yeah. First of all, African Others, there's a lot of people who
benefit,
don't get this opportunity. So it's thanks very much for
having
me on as well. Natureofman.ie has our retreats for next year. The first one is the 30th of April, and then we'll do I'd say maybe 3-4 wild Irish retreats as well. Mm-hmm. Maybe some definitely do a deer tanning weekend, some dry stonewalling maybe, and then more an Irish language focused retreat as well. So
there's plenty coming up.
Plenty coming up.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Diarmaid Ling, thanks so much for coming in. It's fascinating and it's great work that you're doing. So I really appreciate it. And a very happy Christmas to you. And I'm sure we'll chat again soon.
Likewise.
Thanks a million, Diarmaid. Good luck.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.